That is the unmistakable pop icon Taylor Swift and her hit song All Too Well. We're reflecting on the year in music and what songs and artists got you through. It's an hour of music on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. What artist, what song, album kept you going this year? What album kept you sane in another pandemic year? 800-642-1234. Stephen Thompson is a reviewer, writer, and editor for NPR Music. He co-created NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour, and you'll find him as a panelist on All Songs Considered. Key to this bio, though, he is a Wisconsin native. Stephen, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
It is always great to be back on Wisconsin.
Well, darn it all. It's been too long since you've been here.
It really has. And I'm sitting here in a closet in Silver Spring, Maryland, missing home.
I wonder if you're wearing your Packers gear.
you can't see me, but let's imagine that I am.
So how was your year two of your pandemic music year different than your year one pandemic music year?
I probably saw even less live music in 2021 than I did in 2020, which is so sad. You know, we have a concert series in our office called Tiny Desk Concerts. Mm-hmm. And, we've been doing them remotely. We've been recording a lot of Tiny Desk home concerts, and they've been beautiful. But I've really missed out on that music discovery vehicle, just being able to sit in my desk, look up and see amazing music. And I'm really hoping that 2022 allows us to bring musicians back into our office.
Well, let's just take a moment to talk about that music discovery vehicle. It's really worth a moment to talk about Tiny Desk, the magic, the cachet. It's really become an important thing for musicians. Remind us, what are Tiny Desk concerts and how this has evolved?
Yeah, Tiny Desk Concerts are short video performances recorded in the NPR Music offices. And unlike kind of a typical radio session, we have musicians come in and perform at the desk of one of my colleagues, Bob Boylan, who's one of the hosts of All Songs Considered. And Bob and I came up with this idea back in 2008 and thought, well, you know, maybe we can convince one or two musicians to come and try it. And over time, we kind of stubbornly kept doing it. And it became a go-to destination for musicians wanting to showcase their music in kind of this unadorned setting where you have a reverent crowd and are really able to put your best foot forward musically. And we've recorded almost 1,000 of them in the NPR Music offices.
Wow.
And then,
really?
And then, I know, right? We were about to have number 1,000 when the pandemic hit. We've done 984 in the office. And then we started Tiny Desk Home Concerts and have done a few hundred more. And, I personally produced a Tiny Desk Home Concert with BTS. We just did one with Olivia Rodrigo. You know, we've
In the DMV, by the way, what is up with that?
Well, she had a song called Driver's License, and so we decided to have her perform in a DMV. And so we're able to do kind of interesting high concept stuff that still retains the intimacy of the series, but we are all just absolutely losing our minds waiting to get back into the office so we can kind of recreate the original magic of that series.
And then there's the contest, this year's Tiny Desk winner. Before we listen, can you give a few words to the track Wait Up?
Oh my gosh. I mean, honestly, the voice just speaks for itself. I mean, Neffy is the winner of this year's Tiny Desk contest. We have picked, I think, nothing but great stuff in the Tiny Desk contest. And this year's winner is a singer just from the Washington, D.C. area in suburban D.C. in Virginia. And you'll hear it in her voice right away, just this dusky, clear quality. You're just drawn into this voice the way I was originally drawn into voices like Tracy Chapman and Joan Armatrading.
Yes.
Just a fantastic singer, and I'm really, really excited about this song.
I'm stuck and the city's got its grip on me, and I have had enough. You're my home, my prayer. When I wake, you're not there. Oh, I hope you wait up.
I was just transfixed by the expression in her voice and her face as she plays. It just is, it's really moving to watch her perform.
It really is. Some people just have it. And it's funny, like the first time I heard that song and the first time it was kind of presented to me as this is the winner of this year's Tiny Desk Contest, I got 5 seconds into that song before I was like, oh yeah, of course. And a lot of winning performances and a lot of the live performances that most excite people are involve the interplay between musicians, right? Mm-hmm. And this chemistry that a great band has. And it takes a lot for a single voice and an acoustic guitar to grab you as hard as Neffy grabs you in just the first few seconds of that song.
We're talking with Stephen Thompson, if you're just joining us, reviewer, writer, editor at NPR Music, as we talk about the year in music. And we're going to shift a lot of gears here, but you can bring in the music that inspired you, that moved you, the artist who did something that kind of, you know, made you look twice. 800-642-1234. So, Old Town Road was so 2019. So you got this interview with Lil Nas X, and let's first hear a bit of the new stuff, the new track Montero.
Drinking with your friends, you live in the dark, boy, I cannot pretend. I'm not fazed, don't make you to sin. If you've been in your garden, you know that you can. Call me when you want, call me when you need. Call me in the morning, I'll be on the way. Call me when you want, call me when you need. Call me out by your name, I'll be on the way. Like,
all right, so what's going on here with his new album and Lil Nas X?
Well, the album is fantastic, and I think it's worth kind of stepping back and looking at the arc of Lil Nas X's career. You mentioned Old Town Road in 2019. This was a massive, massive novelty hit, right? It didn't sound like anything else on the radio. It was fusing hip-hop and country in a way that when you heard it, you thought, well, this is incredibly catchy, but what else am I going to hear from this guy, right? To the entire world, he looked like a one-hit wonder. And to then come back and put out this album, Montero, that came out this year, sounds nothing like Old Town Road, heads in 20 different directions, and is a giant chart-topping smash hit. And you know that song, Montero, Call Me By Your Name, which NPR Music picked as the best song of the year. What were the odds when you heard Old Town Road that you would think 2 years from now, he's going to have the song of the year? And it's going to sound nothing at all like Old Town Road. I mean, I think he's had really a remarkable career for somebody who's as early in his career as he is and as young as he is.
Well, explain also the controversy, because the music video for Montero, you know, he slides down a pole to hell. And
As one does.
And he really defended the song by saying it normalizes queerness. So what did you see with what he was doing there in that music video?
Yeah, I think just simply existing in the pop music space as an unabashedly queer Black artist, you know, made a big statement in 2021 and managed to push boundaries in ways that you might not have thought boundaries could still be pushed in pop music. You know, I'm almost 50 years old. I go back to the early days of MTV, and you know, when Madonna was the big pop star who was pushing boundaries. And remember how Madonna, like in the early 90s, almost started straining to find new boundaries to push, where you can only push against boundaries so many times before they just kind of fall over and you've done your job. You know, in 2021, Lil Nas X was still pushing pop music's boundaries and that video for Montero is a perfect example. You didn't even mention the part where he gives Satan a lap dance.
I was saving that for you.
Thank you. You left the ball hovering over the net for me to spike it.
Well, I do want to move on from there. Taylor Swift with the 10-minute version of All Too Well.
Yeah, I mean...
So Swift fans, they're really appreciating her reaching back into her early works, doing a fresh take. What do you think of the length? Because you're usually like, about, you know, when lengths go long.
Yeah, I'm definitely like that with movies. I'm a big, a big running time cop when it comes to movies. Like, this movie was 2 hours and 35 minutes. It should have been 2:20. You know, hearing a 10 minute version of All Too Well, I might have been skeptical, but hearing it, I was not at all. It's really interesting. Taylor Swift has gone back and re-recorded her early albums, basically in as kind of a licensing argument. You know, she lost control of her early recordings and was in a dispute with her former manager, and so she announced that she was going to re-record all of her old albums, kind of to so she could regain ownership of her songs. And when I heard about that, I thought, okay, that's a business story, that's not necessarily a music story. She's going to try to recreate these songs so she owns them, but try to create perfect carbon copies. And instead she went back and really revisited them and recontextualized them and made new versions of them that feel truer to who she is as a person and an artist now. And I think, you know, All Too Well is probably, maybe arguably her greatest song. And so coming back with a 10-minute version of it and really mixing it up and creating something new out of it, I thought was a fascinating move. And I thought it, you know, paid off beautifully.
NPR's Stephen Thompson taking us through the year in music. Did you discover a new genre? Did you sing behind your mask as you pushed your grocery cart down the aisle? Uh-huh, I did. I will fess up. 800-642-1234. This is Sad, Beautiful, Tragic. More Taylor Swift back in a minute on the Ideas Network. Tiny Desk alum Anderson .Paak teamed up with Bruno Mars, forming the duo Silk Sonic, announced at the start of this year. This is a bit of that lead single off their new album. The song is called Leave the Door Open. We're exploring the year in music on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You can join in 800-642-1234. Stephen Thompson, writer, editor, reviewer for NPR Music, stays with us. Wow. So an evening with Silk Sonic. Tell us about this collaboration here. What's going on in this R&B 70s?
Yeah, I mean, you said 70s. It is a perfectly crafted kind of crystal clear throwback to 70s soul. It could have come out exactly 50 years ago. And you, I mean, other than a few kind of modern references, you wouldn't even notice. As you said, a collaboration between Bruno Mars, one of the biggest pop stars in the world, and Anderson .Paak, just an incredibly gifted rapper, singer, drummer, band leader. If you have not seen Anderson .Paak's Tiny Desk concert, it is the most viewed Tiny Desk concert we've ever done. And we've had some huge, huge stars, but that thing is absolutely electrifying. So Soul Sonic is bringing their talents together in ways that can be, I don't know, man, it's charming and smarmy at the same time.
Well, I love how they were obsessed with just the little details. Like they sought out period specific instruments, even. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is called people in COVID with time or something. I don't know.
I mean, they're total perfectionists.
Okay.
And so listening to this record, everything from the art design to just every second of the sound, everything is very, very impeccably put together.
Let's hear a little bit more of it. Let's hear some more.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess we don't have any more of that. we have no more of the 70s. So we are going to move on to Adele, who released 30, of course, last in November. It feels like a little bit some distance here. So
yeah. What is time?
I know. What is time? So here's a little bit of Easy on Me.
Feel the world around me. Had no time to choose.
So lots of breakup lyrics this year. Mm-hmm. I just love how you call her like going full throttle. That's so great.
Yeah, she lets it rip.
What do you think of 30?
I think it's a really good record. I mean, it's heavily billed as fans know as a breakup record. It follows in the aftermath of a divorce. And unlike a lot of breakup records, there's not necessarily a lot of anger directed outward. It's much more self-reflective. It's much more kind of tying her divorce into a period of personal growth. And so, and then sonically, yeah, you have that big belting Adele style super ballad in Easy on Me, which just immediately sounds like a standard from the second you hear it for the first time. But she's also, you know, doing some interesting things and finding ways to modulate her voice instead of just hitting the throttle in every song.
I wonder, what did you think of the Adele Oprah musical special on regular old TV last month? Did you get sucked into it?
I got sucked into the album a little bit more.
Oh, come on. It was on primetime TV.
I appreciate the fact, you know, pop culture is so spread out right now, right? There's a million different places to stream TV and movies. There's a million different, I mean, who knows how many artists put out albums every year. And it's really hard to find artists that everyone has heard, right? Like, because everything's so spread out. There's not as much of a monoculture as there used to be, where like everybody hears the new Beatles record. Everybody hears the new, or watches the Ed Sullivan show or whatever. Adele is an artist that everyone hears. It's impossible to avoid her. And so everyone can have an opinion on her, and we can, it's good to have stuff that we all know, right? Instead of being so spread out and in our bubbles the way we are.
What do you think of her doing this Las Vegas residency next month with Caesar's Palace? And each week it'll be like Weekends with Adele. So Adele, Las Vegas, I don't know.
I was a little surprised, but I think, you know, mounting a tour is so logistically difficult to the point of just catastrophe that I think having a Las Vegas residency, by having just a one place that you just go back, you know, to the same place all the time, removes a lot of the logistical strain that comes with touring. So I think it makes a certain amount of sense. Plus, like, where are people going to pay more money to see a concert? You know, maybe Dubai. I think it makes a lot of sense.
I like how elegant they use the word, it's a residency. Like, Las Vegas and residency? I don't know. Thank you, PR people.
An evening with Adele.
Right. Okay, so introduce us to Doja Cat. And let's hear a bit first.
Yeah.
So the track is Kiss Me More. What should we know?
Doja Cat has had a really interesting 2021. You know, we talked about Lil Nas X a little bit before, about an artist I think was perceived as a novelty act early on in their career. And then Doja Cat in 2020 and 2021 has really risen to become one of the biggest pop stars around. I mean, in part due to a lot of features and collaborations. Doja Cat appears on the Lil Nas X record, has done a ton of different collaborations, and had that song that you just played that's a collaboration with SZA, who's just one of the best R&B singers in the world right now. And so Doja Cat has become kind of a ubiquitous pop presence, rising out of this, the big confusing bubbling cauldron that is TikTok. Mm-hmm. You know, what started out as a big TikTok star and is now a major pop star, you know, on the cover of Rolling Stone and all over the pop charts, and nominated for I think 8 Grammys this year. Her record Planet Her is a terrific pop record.
I think emerging from the themes that I'm gathering this year, like breakup lyrics, collaborations, and then just taking media in different places, those are some three takeaways I'm getting this year.
Yeah, and a really strong social media game.
Yeah.
You know, the ability to communicate with your audiences directly through social media and find just creative ways to express yourself. Lil Nas X, I think, is the absolute unparalleled master of that right now, but Doja Cat fits into that as well.
Hearing a little more of Doja Cat with Stephen Thompson, writer, editor, reviewer for NPR Music. You can join in with the music that moved you, 800-642-1234. We'll get back to it after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.
So beautiful like the moon, so beautiful like the moon, so beautiful like the moon, even brighter than the sun.
That is New York-based Pakistani musician Aruj Aftab with the song Last Night off of this year's album Vulture Prince. We're exploring the year in music on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. How is the pandemic changing how you think or experience music? What album, what artist, what song is not getting enough attention? Be part of the Music Hour, 800-642-1234. We have NPR Music Stephen Thompson, reviewer, writer, editor with us. Stephen, what are you seeing out of this Pakistani musician, Aruj Aftab, which you called a mix of Sade and Jeff Buckley? Wow.
Yeah. What I am seeing out of Aruj Aftab is my favorite album of 2021 and a record I've listened to over and over again. As you mentioned, that comparison to Sade and Jeff Buckley, I mean, the song that you played last night really brings out a lot of Sade vibes to me. But it is such a languid and beautiful record that is touching on a lot of traditional music, a lot of soul music, a lot of there's just so many sounds kind of swirling around at the same time. It's a record that is fueled by grief. Aruj Aftab lost her brother to suicide, and you know, wrote some songs about that. But at the same time, there's something so peaceful and graceful about this record. It is probably the album I've listened to the most in 2021, a record I've put on anytime I'm kind of trying to lower my blood pressure in any way, which for some reason I was trying to do a lot in 2021. And this record was just a balm for me.
Interesting, too, how she sings some in Urdu and draws on the Pakistani roots. And she told the LA Times that she wanted the album to really transcend boundaries, wanted to combine all of her experiences and have them translated in music. And that really draws me in for sure, just how she wants to just represent a person's journey through the world. And you know, that's big and bold. And if you can pull it off, that's amazing.
Yeah, and I think she does pull it off really beautifully. Often when you hear somebody singing in a language that you don't speak, that can put up a barrier, right? That puts up a barrier to comprehension of what the singer is trying to say. And as a listener, it can be hard to push past that. For me, I just didn't have that happen with this record at all. Her voice is so expressive. These arrangements are so graceful that I found myself pulled into it instead of pushed away.
Let's hear a bit more.
Was even brighter than the sun. Was even brighter.
So we're going to majorly shift gears here. Kanye West. I don't even know how to do a transition here, but this is his 10th studio album this year, the album Donda, and a bit of Kanye's verse on the album's lead single, Hurricane.
I was up for self. I was up for sale, but I couldn't tell. God made it rain, the devil made it hell.
Dropped out of school, but I'm the one at Yale. Made the best tracks, it still went off the rail. Had go down, down, down. Just a new town, town, town. Just a new 10, 10, 10.
So NPR Music's review of the album said that it had quality control issues, rarely sticks the landing. Well, what did you make of it?
I'm exasperated by Kanye West. I have to confess. If you're just asking, you know, directly, just my opinion, I think that there's an enormous amount of musical skill that goes into the making of this record. I was kind of found myself sucked into the drawn out release schedule that came in, where he was like playing this record in stadiums, but then tinkering with it. And, you know, and eventually the label just kind of put the record out. But this record really grabbed a lot of people. You know, I have a little bit of Kanye West fatigue, but you know, it would have been very easy, I think, for him to drop a record that did not connect with people. And this one still did, in spite of all that.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Stephen Thompson, reviewer, writer, editor for NPR Music, frequent panelist on All Songs Considered, co-creator of NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour. You can join in. What's your favorite song of the year? What new artists have you found and discovered? Has your taste in music changed over the course of the pandemic years? 800-642-1234. We heard from Nicholas in Madison, Stephen, who's called in, couldn't stay with us. Nicholas's favorite album this year is Cinema by The Marías. The Marías are an indie pop band from Los Angeles, made up of a Puerto Rican lead singer and a Los Angeles native as a drummer. And Nicholas says the band sings in English and Spanish and has a gorgeous album in Cinema.
Yeah, this is a great, great pick. And I haven't spent enough time with this record, but I first heard the Marías preparing for South by Southwest a few years back when they were kind of just coming up, and fell absolutely in love with one of their songs. So I just appreciate the tip to go back and revisit this record, because I do think they're a terrific band.
All right, moving on to Olivia Rodrigo, who was a breakout star this year, previously starring a role in the Disney Plus series High School Musical, The Musical, before releasing her debut album Sour in May. And so let's hear first a bit of the hit song Good For You. All right. So what strikes you about Rodrigo's approach to this song?
Well, I mean, this record is just hit after hit after hit. And this song in particular, Good For You, is just this just kind of terrific pop, kind of pop punky banger, right? It reminds me of Paramore. They actually ended up going back and giving Paramore a songwriting credit, just kind of for inspiring the way that this song sounds. It's interesting. Olivia Rodrigo was one of the big, maybe the big breakout star of 2021, you know, put out her first big single on like January 8th or something like that, and then just completely ran the table for the entire year, with huge pop hit after huge pop hit. And I have to say, they just work for me. This record that she put out, Sour, I think is fantastic. And it's a bunch of really, really great pop songs, very infectiously performed with great personality. I love this record.
And you, Tiny Desk, got driver's license. I mean, tying back to the DMV.
Yes, her first hit was Driver's License, which was this really sad ballad that grabbed people right away. She performed it in a DMV for Tiny Desk Home Concerts.
Let's bring on a caller. Joey is joining us from Bayfield. Joey, hi, what do you have for us?
Hi, I just wanted to mention the album Namesake by Them Cooley Boys out of Eau Claire, Wisconsin. I believe it's their fourth album, and their previous ones are all stellar, as a masterpiece in my opinion.
What do you like? What grabs you, Joey? What do you like about them?
The songwriting, the lyrics, the poetry is quite beautiful. I think it just speaks to all of us from Wisconsin, where we come from. I consider them our troubadours, you know, and they're And this album, their musicianship, their skill is really, really comes through. And I just think that's the peak of their performance powers right now, and it all came together.
So, Joey, thank you for that. Representing Wisconsin there, Stephen, Namesake by Them Cooley Boys.
Yeah, putting it on my list. I've heard a couple of songs of theirs because, you know, anytime I hear about a band from Wisconsin that people are talking about, I have to check it out. So I'll dig into this record because I've liked what I've heard from them.
Well, that's good. And, you know, I'm sure that you have to, I mean, you listen to so much, and I sometimes think about how you must digest music because you get so much of it. And how do you clear your palate, or clear your ears, if you will, and able to really hear music in a new way when a brand new song comes to you? How do you do that? I'm just thinking like wine tasters, and you know, you're a music taster.
Yeah. And it is tricky, and there's so, it is impossible to listen to everything. Just the sheer laws of space and time make it impossible to listen to everything. And of course, like everybody, you know, my routines have been upended by the pandemic. My favorite way to listen to new music and discover new music is in the car. And how much time am I spending in the car when I'm working at home? And so, you know, the important thing that I find, because I'm also talking about movies and TV shows for Pop Culture Happy Hour, I just try to rotate media as much as possible and spend a bunch of time listening to music, and then spend a bunch of time watching a movie, and then spend a bunch of time checking out a TV show, and then go back to music, and, you know, go for walks with headphones as much as humanly possible. But yeah, it is a state of constantly refreshing your palate so that stuff doesn't run together the way it can so easily do.
It still sounds a little bit of like a mock pit approach.
Well, and you know what, at the same time, it beats working in the mines, right? Yeah. Like it is not the hardest job in the world to soak up new art,
creativity. Let's hear a little more from breakout pop star Olivia Rodrigo, who kicks off a North American tour in April, by the way, with a stop planned in Milwaukee. We have NPR Music Stephen Thompson taking us on a tour of 2021 in music highlights. Still time to talk about what music moved you. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Stephen Thompson on the Ideas Network.
Into your heart like that. Ooh. Cool shade, stunner, yeah. Owe it all to my mother.
So this tour of music wouldn't be complete without K-pop superstars, the boy band BTS, known for their record-breaking achievements. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So what do you anticipate from BTS or your favorite band next year? What are you looking forward to from gifted singer-songwriters? 800-642-1234. NPR Music Stephen Thompson is with us for about 10 more minutes. Okay, BTS, Butter, go.
It's so catchy. What else is there to say? I mean, in 2020, BTS had this song Dynamite that was just this earworm that I could not escape if I wanted to, and I did not want to escape it. So Butter kind of feels like a sequel to it. It's another just like, just a perfect pop song. And every time it came on the radio, every time I put it on, every time I tracked it down on a streaming service to play it in my car, I loved it. What can I say?
Well, I had to add my guilty indulgence, Coldplay teaming up with BTS this year on the song My Universe. Never ending forever, baby. Okay, so bands with different paths in the music industry, but do you think it works? Just say yes.
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 I mean, two purveyors of some of the catchiest music in the world team up to make a song engineered to make you happy. Who am I to argue with that?
So what do you, I mean, this is a collaboration here, and do you think that K-pop will see more collaborations like this?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, K-pop is one of the biggest kind of sub-industries within the juggernaut that is the music industry. And BTS has really proven that, you know, it can not only can it find like a massive audience around the world, but it can really find an extremely motivated and excited audience in the U.S. And so lots and lots of artists are trying to become the next BTS in the US and finding massive success around the world. And I think we're only going to see more of that. It's not just BTS. There's a lot of other artists with, you know, huge machines behind them working to make them hugely famous here.
Let's take another call. Ryan is joining us from Blue Mounds. Ryan, hi. What music is on your mind?
So lately I've been listening to singer-songwriter Decker. He is really inspiring just because he kind of comes off as like, he's got like a character. He wears like this really cool hat and he's always dancing, and a lot of his music is like really positive and uplifting. It's just something that really grabbed me when I listened to a few of his songs, and I've been following him for the last year, and my favorite song by him is called This Here Island. And there's another one called A Better Way. It just really puts out a very positive vibe, and it's really good music as well.
I think that's off of Slow Reveal. What about, have you heard of Decker?
I have not. I'm taking notes right
now. Take notes. Check it out. Yes. Ryan has put you on to a new artist.
I love this.
You know, right?
I want to come out of every one of these segments. I'm not just here to talk.
Ryan, thank you so much for bringing that. Chris, who is driving from Minneapolis, called in, couldn't stay with us. And Chris said that they heard a lot of pop music this hour, and they want to know, what are some of your favorite rock and roll music songs right now, Stephen, besides the well-known artists like Foo Fighters?
Oh, gosh.
Putting you on the spot.
Yeah, putting me on the spot. Oh, gosh. I mean, you know who, a great rock record this year is by an artist called Snail Mail, who put out a record called Valentine. And Snail Mail, you know, kind of started out in more of the indie pop vein, but the song Valentine that Snail Mail put out is just this big kind of rager, kind of sort of in the spirit of like Hole or some of these, some of the, you know, like kind of a 90s rock sound. But that was maybe my favorite rock record of the year. Also, a group from Scotland called We Were Promised Jetpacks made a terrific record this year called Enjoy the View. You know, really heavily Scottish accented. The band Pinegrove just put out a single called Alaska. Their new record comes out early in 2022. That's a really good rock record. So, you know, it's hard to find. Vistas, another band from Scotland, made a terrific, you know, last couple of years have had a couple of great rock records. You know, rock and roll, as we think of rock and roll, isn't necessarily at the top of the charts right now, but there are a lot of bands making great rock music.
That's some great suggestions, jotting them down. Chris, thank you for the call. John now in Madison. John, hi.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks so much for taking my call. I just wanted to, you know, bring up the contributions of the Puerto Rican diaspora and here and on the island. We just got back from the Bad Bunny concert, and it was, like, pretty life-changing. And, you know, the special thing that he did was a tribute to all of the Puerto Rican leaders and everything that, even despite our colonization status with the United States, we persevere and fight through our mediums of art. Music being like a top one, you know, like we produce so many musicians, it's just breathtaking and amazing. So I just wanted to throw that out there, and thanks for taking my call.
Oh, John, what a beautiful tribute. Thank you for that, Stephen.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Bad Bunny the last few years has put out just a string of massive, massive records, enormously, enormously popular around the world. Also just great music. He put out a couple of fantastic records in 2020 that were all over, you know, NPR Music's list of the, you know, the best albums of the year, and, you know, continues to be just an absolutely massive superstar and a great ambassador for Puerto Rico.
Let's explore Jasmine Sullivan's album, Hotels. Yeah. Let's take a listen.
Who is this? Brand new, like the whip, rack it up, no assist. Maybe nine average. Wake up, eat a zip, Hennessy, take a sip. Look at my jeans, I'm too thick. I ain't got no room for extra baggage. Don't forget to come and pick up your feelings. You need to hurry and pick up your...
Oh, I don't want to jump in. I want to listen. Pick up your feelings. What do you think?
This is such a great record. This was NPR Music's pick for the album of the year in 2021. It was very high in my own personal top 10. I love it so much. As you said, it's called Hotels. That's spelled H-E-A-U-X. And it weaves together interviews with women, and then each interview or each kind of interview clip is then followed by a song that mirrors that interview. Mm. And the songwriting is so beautiful. There's a song on this record called The Other Side that is maybe my favorite song of 2021, where it starts out being kind of a typical, like, here's, I'm poor, I want to be rich. But then the song kind of just takes a turn from there and just offers these interesting spins on that perspective, all while sung so, so purposefully and so stylishly and so infectiously. I just think this Jasmine Sullivan record is so fantastic, and it's been exciting to see it make so many year-end lists, because it is such a phenomenal record.
Well, it's interesting too how she merges these six individual testimonies from Black women with the music and making such a statement there on the issues that women are facing.
Yeah, and really exploring perspectives that don't always get an airing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's what part of what really jumps out about it as kind of a political statement. But the songwriting is so sharp on top of it. It's a great concept for a record, but she carries it through and executes it, I think, perfectly.
Oh, Stephen, this has been fun and it's too short. Thank you for joining us.
Oh my gosh, Kate, anytime. Love doing this.
Stephen Thompson is a reviewer, writer, and editor for NPR Music. We're going to go out with a cover of Bo Burnham's The Funny Feeling, performed by indie rocker and songwriter Phoebe Bridgers. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. How fun. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.